Welcome to The Church Planter's Life, a podcast exploring the possibilities and pain of starting a missional incarnational church. This podcast is a resource of the V3 movement. V3 is a grassroots training organization for men and women planters around the country. Thanks for tuning in as our host Matt Alexander leads the conversation.
Hey friends, welcome to the Planter's Life podcast. I'm Matt down in Miami, and this podcast is powered by V3. You can learn more about V3 if you go to the v3movement.org. And V3 is an organization that supports mainly through training and coaching resources, folks who have a sense of calling and passion to start a missional incarnational expression of the church, either in the neighborhood where they live or amongst kind of a group of people, a network of people in their context that they have a heart for and want to reach with the love and presence of God. So V3 comes alongside folks from all different walks of life, all different types of theological backgrounds, to support them with tools and friendship and resources to go about that kind of grassroots work. If you want to learn more about V3 or get connected in any way, you can just check out the website, thev3movement.org. And this podcast is specifically focused on hearing from folks who have gone through or are currently in V3's training to hear more of their story and how they're fleshing out the church planting journey on the ground in their context. And so today we're hanging out with Un Strausser in Honolulu, Hawaii, and who pastors and leads the church plant in Honolulu, Maki Alo'o. How did I do?
Pretty close. Pretty good, Matt.
I only practiced about 5 times beforehand.
That's okay. I just keep saying it too, so don't worry.
Well, perfect. Yeah, just say it keep over and over and over again. Un, tell us a little bit about Honolulu and about your journey to starting and planting this church.
Sure. Awesome. I actually want to start off by saying I met Matt at my first Praxis, which is a conference that the V3 movement puts on for church planters beyond the cohort. But I remember meeting you for the first time at one of your sessions on soul care. And I vividly remember that as, you know, this movement must be thinking about church and supporting church planters in such a different way that they would dedicate this amount of energy. And I felt like it was like one of the best learnings and growings on soul care and actually taking the time to like stop and pay attention to this. So I'm just actually very, very thankful to have this conversation with you. I feel like you like had an imprint on my life and as I was just starting out planting. So thank you, Matt. Thank you for existing. People like you.
Thank you for sharing that. That's encouraging.
Yeah. So a little bit about Maki Alo'o. So Matt's right. We are in Honolulu, Hawaii. The neighborhood that we are focused on is actually called Kaka'ako. That's in like the heart of Honolulu. We focus on this part of the city because a little bit about Oahu in general. It's like a little under 1 million people, and the rest of the state is just a little over 1 million people. So if you can imagine, most of the population in Hawaii lives in Honolulu, but yet it's still smaller than a lot of these metropolis cities around on the mainland. So it's a close-knit community. The area of Kaka'ako in Honolulu is like a new emerging work, play, live area. It's the first of its kind here in Hawaii. City planners have been planning this part of the city for probably like over a decade now. And I think it's like voted one of the top 5 most well-designed cities in the country. So the reasons why we wanted to focus on this part was because we just believe that in new emerging places like this, it's going to have such an influence in the whole state because the state is so small. And whoever has like the first voices at the table here will make a difference in how they're going to shape a culture around Oahu and around Hawaii. So that's why we picked Kaka'ako. Makelo'o, it's a word in Hawaiian. It's a little bit tricky for all of us to say. But Makelo'o basically means presence. And that's the big heart behind our church plant, is that we really, really believe in the presence of God. We really, really believe in the power of presence with one another and being present in the community around us, specifically in Kaka'ako. We chose a Hawaiian word, even if it's tricky to say, and it may not be the best PR decision, but we really wanted to honor the culture here. It's like a conversation starter for most of our people with others around this culture in Hawaii, because it's so honoring to use their language. We also love it because it actually means in the presence of. So any Hawaiian language learner or knower would be like, oh, it's an incomplete sentence. What does that mean? It means in the presence of, and in the presence of what? So we found that it's like an easier way to actually begin to have conversations around a name and around a Hawaiian name, to be like, oh, we actually believe in the presence of God. We really believe that that is like the game changer for what can make a flourishing community. So we like the name for those two reasons. And actually, a fun note, a Hawaiian musician who's like a pretty big name here, he heard our name for the first time, and he kept on asking. He's like, hey, can I use that as like the name of my new cover? We're like, okay, that's awesome. So we love the name of it, and it makes us really have to press into actually living that part of our mission out. our story for Makelo'o is kind of like, I guess most of us are in church planting now, in this time now. It's like a little bit of a sad story. I think most of us had transitioned out of an established church, multiple established church settings or churches, industrial complex. And most of the transitioning out was because of hurts or hardships or not seeing eye to eye about the mission and heart of how churches run on a daily basis. So I know personally for me, I was involved with a church plant prior, and it was a big church plant. It was a well-funded, it was a typical attractional Sunday service model church. And we were probably like the golden babies in Hawaii. We're like, our church plant was so successful in the eyes of what most people will say that it's successful. It's like, started out with like 50 people. It grew exponentially in just like 3 years time, 450 people coming in, 80% of the church was involved in small group context. Like, it was amazing. We were like the it kids for church plants. But then it kind of began to fizzle out because of disagreement in leadership and how people started perceiving and imagining how leadership should look like, where the direction of the church should go, and things like that. So it was a painful transition out. And I know for me, I never got out of church plantings just so that I can go into church planting right off the bat. I am a co-vocational leader, so I'm a physician by day. It helps pay for my passion. I've been married for almost 20 years, and we have three kids. So this is not the idea of like, yay, get out into a church plant and go right into a church plant again. Like, that's not in the plans for us. And it was so painful that it took probably like a 2 years of just healing and forgiving and not making quick impulsive decisions, not really making a decision. And it was really frustrating and painful those 2 years. A group of people had transitioned out together, and a lot of them were saying that, like, oh, this is our chance. Like, we can do a plant now, and, you know, let's just start another church, you know. And it was 2 years of saying no to that. We're not going to make a move. We're not even a collective church together. We're just friends who are grieving, and we're going to meet on a regular basis to grieve together. Because even though I didn't know many, many things, I knew one thing. If we didn't know how to address unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives, whatever amount of unforgiveness and bitterness that stayed unaddressed, that would be the thing that we would begin to sow in whatever we're going to touch next. So it was painful, a lot of crying. It felt like no movement forward. But in those 2 years, I feel like a depth of friendship began to form. And boy, when you're starting out in a church plant and you have friends you're doing it with, that makes all the difference in the world, because it just gets so lonely planting a church that when you know that you're like in this thing together with deep friends, it just covers over so many places that could be lonely otherwise. But I feel like those 2 years of grieving and mourning together helped to like sharpen and shape friendship for us, so that when it was time to actually begin to dream and imagine a different kind of church plant, like we knew we were not certain of every parts of it, but we were certain of a depth of relationship in order to do it together. So, yeah.
I love it. Thanks for sharing so authentically about the journey, the highs and the lows.
Yeah. That's
along with it. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If I came and spent a month with you guys in Honolulu, which sounds like just a great idea on a lot of levels, but if I did that theoretically and I said, Un, I'm here to just immerse myself in the life of the church community, the plant, all the organized things that are happening, as well as kind of the organic things that just kind of seem to spring up, what would I experience? What are some of the rhythms of the community in this season? What would it look like for me to follow Jesus with you guys for a month in Honolulu?
Yeah, I'm glad you said just a month and not like a week, because if you just came for a week, you'll be like, is there really a church plan? Come on now. But a month, yes. I think I say that because a lot of it would just feel like you're hanging out a lot. The rhythms of Makiloo is like intentionally designed so that we have so much more focus on all the in-between moments, so that it won't feel so heavy on like there's like events. You know, there's like calendared events that like runs or pushes the rhythm of our missional community, but it is a lot of in between time. So after a month, Matt, you will feel like you have really, really, really close friends who love you deeply, who want to speak life into you, and who will bless you wherever you go next. So we do a set rhythm of work with what's called open space dinners. So that's like the largest social space gathering in our missional community. It typically is like maybe like anywhere between 30 to 50 people in a gathered rec room in one of the condos in the city. And we just have potluck dinner together, and the premise is to share a story and share a meal. So we do that three times a month, and then once a month we dedicate a freer space so that we do what's called a practical experience. It's our unique expression of how to do mission together out into the community in a regular once a month kind of set thing. So we do anything from like, we went like rum tasting in the local rum distillery here on like the west side in Oahu, just because we know that this is a group of people who are like investing into the land in Hawaii, and it's a chance for us to like understand like what is the Holy Spirit doing in the work of like in businesses or people who are wanting to invest in that network in on the island. So we do that too. A practical experience coming up this month is there's a low income senior living facility in the heart of Kakaako, where like 260 residents and not one organization looks at them. Not one organization does anything on a regular basis for these senior citizens. So we're actually going to go in and do what nobody likes to do, Matt, which is bring in a Swiffer and clean fans for elderly people for like 5 hours. That's just what we're doing. And it's an open invitation for anybody in the community. It's an open invite. And so generally, the practical experience is probably pull in about anywhere between 25 to 50 people. And these are all a mix of Jesus followers and non-Jesus followers who are trying to do community living on the move together. So those are our set rhythms. And then we do what's called a discipleship core. So these are for specifically for Jesus followers. Twice a month, we have four different groups in four different kind of missional community settings today. So you have lots of options to choose from. But these are closed groups. These are not, once it starts, it doesn't open up again for a year. And this is like, if you were to tease out most of the things from like a quote unquote Sunday service, so this is like teaching, equipping, worshiping together, musically, having communion, those kinds of pieces of Sunday service life. This is probably where a Jesus follower would find it. Mm-hmm. And it's closed intentionally because we really wanted to invest and pour into the Jesus followers who have said yes to being owners within our own missional community. So these are the people who are like saying yes to not just, I just want to be fed on a regular basis for my personal life, but these are the people who have said yes to being committed to coming, doing all the in-between relational stuff with one another, so that I'm committed to you just like you're committed to me. And I'm also committed to inviting or going out with non-Jesus followers so that they get an understanding of like a sense of belonging in these open space dinners and then a sense of purpose in these like once a month practical experiences. So those are probably the general rhythms.
Yeah, I love it. And so you talked about a discipleship core. What are you guys doing in the discipleship core in this season? What does it look like? What are folks being discipled into or through?
Yeah, this is probably I will say, Matt, for a church plant where there is a lead pastor and all these things, like most people in these like larger social space gatherings don't know that I'm the lead person in this context. Like there are a lot of other people engaging with them. There are a lot of other facilitators. I'm not the main speaker. They just know me as that Korean lady who says hi a lot, you know what I mean? And laughs a lot. But in the discipleship core setting this is like the opportunity for me to be able to like pass on like the DNA of what Makelo'o, the heart and mission and vision behind Makelo'o in this kind of space. So we do it twice a month for a year, and this is where like the bulk of our discipleship is actually happening, or I should say like the equipping piece of the discipling is happening. And this is where we tend to focus on five things. The full gospel. This is where people, if you're going to go through a discipleship core, by the end of it, you will know how to articulate the full gospel in your own words. And you've had many chances over and over and over again to practice this on one another, on fellow other Jesus followers who are not in Makiloo, and on people hopefully who have never heard the gospel before. Like, you have opportunity to share that with people. So the full gospel, what it means to be a person connected to Jesus, and therefore to be what it means to be truly human. Gathering a heart for the one, so understanding that there are people who God sees as the one or the lost all around us. It's not hard to look for these people because God has placed them everywhere around us. So having developing a heart for the people who God has a heart for as well. Mm-hmm. Knowing how to do thick community really, really well. I'm going to tell you, for my people, this is their least favorite thing about Discipleship Core, is living into thick community. People hate it. People hate that they have to address conflict. People hate that they have to be vulnerable. People hate that they can't just like brush it under the rug, because it's always so much easier to do that. People hate that. Being a follower of Jesus also means being committed to a community, which means that we live it out in those tension moments. And I'm going to tell you, people hate it, but I love it so much. And then the fifth and last one is what it looks like to be partnered in the kingdom of God. What does it look like in our own personal rhythms and in our gathered rhythms that we are invited to partner with Jesus in his kingdom? And what does it look like? How does it shape how we're supposed to live, what we do in our workplaces, conversations we're having in our families, you know, things like that. So, yep, people will go through all of those five things in deep ways.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you guys have kind of discerned contextually, kind of like, you know, these are the foundations of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, some of these things are, you know, kind of translocal, but some of them are like very contextual to your place. This is what it looks like for us to follow Jesus in this season. And so we're going to, you know, really focus on, we're not going to try to do everything. We're going to try to do the foundational things and get those things deep in us in a discipleship core kind of. So I love that. I love the kind of the clarity of that and how everything else kind of builds off of these aspects of discipleship in our lives. It's so cool. Talk for a few minutes on a kind of a more of a personal note. Think back, what have been maybe one or two of the biggest highs for you personally in the planting journey, the leadership journey in particular, and what have been one or two of the biggest lows for you? Or, and that could be like a very specific thing or kind of a general thing, however you want to share.
Yeah, I will. I'll start with the low, Matt. and I think that it continues to be a low. And I think that any church planter we meet who says that it's the easiest thing and I love it every day is just lying to your face. That's just the honest truth about it. But I do think the lowest probably continues to be for me is knowing that out of the fivefold, the eight-pest giftings, I am an apostle prophet mix. So it is really hard for me, and it continues to be leading a group of people in this kind of new kind of way where I tend to find these new spaces and pioneering a little bit easier. And I always make the mistake of running so far ahead, you know, that most of my community, my owners are shepherds. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a painful thing, I think, to navigate through that gap. So I'm just praying for increased maturity in my own shepherds and those who are in that level of leadership. But also I'm just praying for another mature shepherd to come into our community to like fill in that deeply necessary gap that I know that I leave behind. Yeah. And then One specific low in regards to what I suck at addressing because my shepherd gifting is so much lower than other giftings in me is, that game of comparison just like kills my people so quickly. It just like wipes them out so quickly. And I get so angry at the Satan because of how he like uses these little tricks about like, hey, like, do you think like Un's paying attention to you because you're doing that? Do you think? You know, because she didn't really mention it. And it looks like she's like highlighting a lot of other people doing other things. Like, do you think maybe she doesn't value you enough? You know, or like, look at, you know, maybe you can't be as awesome as that person doing all those kinds of things in that manner. Like maybe in this community, like there's no place for you because they're not really you, because you're not able to do that. Like that game of comparison hits my people so hard. Sorry, I was going to say a bad word, Matt, but I'm not going to. It just hits them so hard. And it's one of those things where like, it feels like it doesn't matter how often we just address it as a gathered group of people. We address it in like a social space because we know that this is probably plaguing a community of people too. You know, one-on-one spaces. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you do this. Like, this thing hits my people so hard to sometimes like breeding suspicion of one another, you know, making it so that it's more difficult to be vulnerable and honest with one another. And I'm like, if thick community is this thing that like we base our community off of, like having suspicion and lack of dialogue and lack of vulnerability, like kills us so quickly, you know, before we've done anything. So That's been like probably the hardest thing in planting. Mm. highlights for us has been like, I think the Holy Spirit's work in my people in ways that I would have never, ever, ever expected it. So this is our year two. And the way that I thought that, because the apostle hat is on my head most of the time, I'm thinking about multiplication, multiplying disciples all the time. This is just what I think about all the time. And so obviously, naturally, I like map it out beautifully, color-coded, everything. It's so awesome looking. And I map it out. And in a year's time, I'm thinking that we're going to multiply through networks of people and not neighborhoods. We're going to multiply through like a networks of educators and networks of like-minded business people who are Jesus followers, who want to make a change in their networks. Hawaii is small enough to do this. Like, I'm thinking this is how we're going to multiply. We did not multiply that way, Matt. Not one single person has multiplied as a disciple in this manner. But I feel like, of course, the Holy Spirit knows like the strength of our unique missional community. And if there are a bunch of shepherds and evangelists who love the people around them that God has already placed in them, in their neighborhoods, this is how we multiplied. We multiplied into three new spaces this year of social gathered spaces because the shepherds and evangelists in our mix just started going out and replicating our open space dinner concepts in their own personal lives. So I'm just like looking at this happening and then like, you know, no one asked you to do this, right? They're like, oh, but like, we just realized that like, it's so easy to do. It's such a simple model to do. So like, yeah, we just started doing this in like, you know, my other condo living. Or, well, yeah, we just started doing this because like I started volunteering at a low income senior facility. And so like, why not? We just started doing dinners together. And I'm like, I feel like there are more conversations about Jesus happening in those multiplied spaces that I have never personally stepped foot in either of these locations. Mm-hmm. And I love this. I just love it. I love that being committed to something so simple and being faithful to it for a year's time brought about a fruit that I would never have anticipated because the Holy Spirit was already working in these neighborhoods and in these people already. All we had to do was like provide an experience that was simple and faithful enough for people to personally experience. So
yeah. That's wonderful. That's exciting. I think a really exciting season for you guys. It's so fun. How could people stay connected online to you or and or to the community?
Yeah, we our website is NKAO. It's so much easier than the entire full name of Makelo'o Matt, NKAO.community. And you can kind of sort of see and get connected in a variety of ways to the website.
Okay, very cool. MKAO.community. All right.
Perfect.
And if anyone else wants to learn more about V3, you can again check out the website, the v3movement.org. You can also, there's an app for V3 as well, so you can search for the V3 app and download it to hear other series, other episodes in the Church in the Planner's Life series, or check out other stuff that we've content that we've created over the years to help people follow Jesus in a missional way. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Un.
No problem. Such a pleasure.
Try to stay warm down in Hawaii.
Oh my gosh, I will try my very, very best.
Okay, bye-bye.
We hope you discovered something meaningful in this podcast for your church planting journey. To connect with our training, tribe, and tools, go to thev3movement.org.